And welcome back to Ghost to Ghost. That was kind of creepy, wasn't it? Hey, we should have an amazing night tonight. Plus, check in with us on your memorable Halloween stories as well. I got to tell you mine. My 89-year-old mother called me today and said, George, are you going to talk tonight about the Zorro story? And I said, no, Mom, I'm not going to talk about that. She says, come on, please, please. It's my favorite Halloween story. I said, okay, I will, and here it comes. When I was about 11 or 12 years old, for Halloween, I dressed up as Zorro. Now, some of you who might not remember who Zorro was, he was this masked man who ran around Mexico trying to help people. And he had a little mask across his eyes. He had a funny hat and a cape and had a sword, and he ran around and did his thing, and it was a big thing in my day. I mean, it was movies, television. Zorro was everywhere. Well, I dressed up like Zorro for Halloween. And my mother, being the attentive parent that she was, and at my age of 11 or 12, she figured, you know what, I'm going to go with George when he went Halloween and trick-or-treating, and I'll just stand on the side of the sidewalk when he goes up to each house, and I'll just follow him along. And I, you know, said, okay, great, Mom, we'll do it. So I go up to this house, and there are a whole bunch of kids on the porch. And, you know, everybody's saying trick-or-treat, and we're waiting in line, and we're getting our candy and stuff like that. Well, there's another kid dressed up like Zorro, and he was getting his candy, too, on the porch. Well, he got there before I did, and, you know, he got his candy, and he left. And I get mine, and I come back. I walk down the sidewalk, and where's Mom? She's nowhere to be seen. I couldn't find her. And it was my neighborhood, so I kind of knew where I was going, so I wasn't scared, but, you know, I was looking for my mom, and I did not find her for the rest of the night until I finally went home after my trick-or-treating. When I got home, she said, where have you been? And I said, where have you been, Mom? This is what happened. When the other kid, the other Zorro kid, got off the porch because I was still on there getting my candy, she thought that was me. So she took him with her, and they went trick-or-treating. And she'd wait for him, and he'd do his thing. And she finally brought him home to our house. The kid takes his mask off, and he's not me. She couldn't believe it. She just didn't know what was going on. So he left, and he knew our house, and he knew the family, and he said, hi, Mrs. Norrie. And off you went. And she was petrified because I was nowhere to be seen or found until I came back home. Well, that's her Halloween story, and I said it for her. You're next when we come back.
Hi, this is Mitch Horowitz, wishing all you creatures of the night and coast listeners a very happy Halloween.
Hey, Mitch, one of our great guests. He is a great author, but that laugh was creepy. I don't think that was Mitch's laugh, but that was a creepy, creepy laugh. Strange thing. I'll tell you another strange thing. You talk about horror stories. Listen to this thing. How would you like to be, it's nighttime, you're looking out your window, and your nose is about an inch away from the glass pane. And so you're looking out at the street, and all of a sudden, another face comes in on the other side, right next to you, on the other side of the window, from somebody who was walking around and decided to stick their head and look through the window. And, I mean, it scares the living daylights out of you. To the phones we go. We've got 3 hours of ghostly open lines for you, or Halloween stories as well. Let's start with Craig in Des Moines, Iowa. Welcome to the program, Craig. Happy Halloween.
Hello, George. I don't know. Where do you want me to start?
What do you got for us? A ghost story, or what do you have?
Yeah, a ghost story. This All right. happened back, it was about summer of 92. I moved into this efficiency apartment, and I was driving truck at the time, just started a new job. So it was a place when I got off the road to relax. And every now and then, when I'd be sitting in the living room, because the living room, kitchen room, dining room all together is one.
Mm-hmm.
Bedroom was in a separate room. Bathroom was a separate room in the back. Well, as you're sitting there on the couch, every now and then you'd sit there and watch somebody in your peripheral vision go from like the bedroom to the bathroom or vice versa. And go back there and look, didn't see anybody.
Nobody there.
Yeah. And after a while, got used to it, didn't think anything about it. Till one night, my girlfriend come over. We barbecued some pork chops. And she wanted to sit in the bedroom because the bed was more comfortable than the couch. So took TV in there. We made up dinner, shut all the lights off, went in the bedroom, sat down, started eating. And I had a little kitten. He was only about 12 weeks old.
Oh, they're cute.
And, he had to sit there with us, and we ate our dinner. And I got done with my plate, and I thought, well, heck, there's another pork chop out there in the kitchen. I'll go out and get it. Went out, turned the lights on, looked at the plate, nothing there. And I'm like, okay. And I looked around, couldn't find anything. Went back in the bedroom, asked girlfriend, you know where pork chop went? Said no, left it on the counter there. Went back out, looked around, could not find it. So I gave up, didn't think anything about it. And put dishes in, sink stuff. Went to bed that night, got up the next morning, went out to go make coffee in here. Plate was still sitting on the counter, and there was a bone from the pork chop sitting there on the plate.
Oh, jeez.
This sucker was clean as can be.
Oh.
Somebody had washed it with a brush. There wasn't a speck of meat on it.
Something that, now, the little kitty wouldn't have done that and bring the bone back at all. So that you could rule out.
Yeah. And, I asked her, and she come out, and she freaked out. She didn't know what to say. She goes, I don't want to be in this place anymore.
I don't blame her. I mean, is it possible that somebody could hide in your attic and you not know it, and they live up there and sneak down at night?
There's no attic in this place.
It was a flat roof.
There were six apartments on the second floor and six apartments on the first floor, and they went from north to south straight across.
Did you ever figure out what happened?
No. The only thing I did, I got a hold of some of the renters that had been there longer than I had, and talking to them, come to find out back in the 70s, I guess it was, that there had been a fire in this apartment that I was in, and a guy had died there.
Well, maybe he was the ghost that ate the pork chop.
That's what I'm wondering.
I love it.
He might have been the one that I was seeing walking back and forth through the rooms.
Great story. You know, there was a story years ago of a family that would, wake up in the morning, and things would be changed around their house and moved around a little bit. They found out that there was a guy living in the attic, was there when they bought the house, but he stayed up there. And he would come down at night and grab something to eat and go back upstairs, and I guess, oh, my God, he probably went to the bathroom in the attic and everything else because they never heard any toilet sounds or anything. But this happened for about 2 years. Finally, one morning, one late night into the morning hours, a little kid, their little kid, woke up, was thirsty, walking around, and he sees this guy. And he calls for his parents, and they catch him. Unbelievable. Let's go to Nancy in Los Angeles, first-time caller. Hello, Nance.
Hi, George. Long-time listener.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween to you, too. I have wanted to call in this ghost story for so many years. It's a fun one.
Perfect.
I, many, many years ago, lived at Lake Tahoe, and where there's an abundance of ghost stories. That float around the lake. Well, at this time, I lived in a little apartment, and it was just I lived there alone, and it was a kitchen, a living room, and a bathroom, and I had a little dog.
Mm-hmm.
And one night, I came home from work, and the sun hadn't quite set, and I sat down on my couch. Well, on the wall, I was facing the TV. Hanging on the wall next to the TV was a dulcimer, which is an Appalachian string instrument.
Right. Great sound that comes out of that thing, too.
Oh, they're beautiful. Yeah. My dad and I had made it. And so I had it displayed on the wall. And I'm sitting there watching TV, and all of a sudden, the strings on this dulcimer, they go plunk, plunk. And I'm looking like right at it, and I'm thinking, did I just hear that? And so... Now, the thing about me when, you know, all growing up, I was like the kid that I was sensitive. I was always sensitive.
Yeah.
And all through growing up, I always thought, I want to see a ghost. But I thought, surely if I ever did that, you know, it would scare the pants out of me. So I'm sitting there, and it surprised me a little bit that I didn't get scared. You know, I felt no fear when this happened. So... I went to bed. It was a hide-a-bed, you know, a little sofa.
Yeah.
And I took the little sofa out. My dog would sleep at the end of my feet, at the end of the bed there. So I go to sleep, and I wake up about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I hear the water running in the bathroom. And so, again, I'm the only one that lives here, and I thought, well, the first thing I thought was the little washer gave way. And so I get up. And I go into the little hall, and I don't go into the bathroom, but I lean in, and I turn on the light, and I lean over to turn off the water. Well, when I did that, I noticed that the room was, there was like the air was thick. It was thick. It was thick, and it felt heavy. I knew that there was something. You know,
yeah, you could feel it.
I could feel it, and you could see it. It's the air. It was kind of tinted. I don't know. It was very strange. And I thought, okay, there's something here. I'm just going to turn off the water, and I'm going to go back to bed. And I did that. And again, and I go to bed, and I thought it was odd. I wasn't scared at all. No fear. So the next night, okay, so the next morning I get up, and I get in the shower. And I'm in the shower, and on the other side of the bathroom was the sink with my toothbrush. And all of a sudden, my toothbrush comes flying over the shower. And I was like, oh, no, you've got to be kidding me, you know. And there was a bottle of shampoo or conditioner up on the wall of the shower. And it topples into the shower. And again, no fear whatsoever. I thought it was kind of funny at that point. So I continued to get dressed and went to work, came home that night, forgot about it, I think. And again, I go to bed, wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning. The water is running in the bathroom.
Oh,
right?
Boy.
So about this time, well, my dog had this habit that she would go into the bathroom and drink from the toilet. She was one of those dogs.
Yucky, right?
I know, but I always flushed it, so, you know.
Yeah, but I'm still not sure that was hygienic for the dog.
I know. But that's for another day. So I'm laying there, and I'm thinking, you know what? Okay, I know that there's something wonky going on, and I am not. I figure at this point, if that, you know, whatever it was, if it could turn the water on, it can turn the water off, right? And so right about then, I see the dog. She puts her head up, and she's going to go into the bathroom. And I'm thinking, well, this will be interesting because they say that dogs are really sensitive. I don't know what happened in there, George, but that dog went in the bathroom, and she let out a yelp.
Scared the living daylights out of her.
It did. And she comes running back to the bed, and she jumps up on the bed, and all of the hair is standing up. Now, that dog was only about a year old at that time, and, you know, that dog lived till she was about 15.
That's a good run.
Until the day she died, she never, ever got up in the middle of the night and went and drank out of a toilet.
That trained her.
Whatever it was, I think it goosed her. I don't know. I don't know what it did to her, but she let out a yelp. And the water was still running. I went to, there was no way I was going in there. And so I went to sleep and woke up in the morning and the water was turned off and that was the end of it. Nothing ever happened after that.
Well, that dog saw a ghost for sure, Nance. Thanks. Hey, we take your texts and tweets during Ghost to Ghost as well. Tom, what do you have for us?
Happy Halloween, George.
You too, Thomas. I hope everything was, did you dress up at all today?
I did not.
I did not either.
I was going to dress up as a clown and when I turned on the camera, you'd go, ooh.
No, but... I wouldn't want to see that. How'd you like my mom's Zorro story?
Unbelievable.
Funny story.
Really happened.
Takes
crazy.
The wrong kid home.
Yeah. Okay, so from Teresa in Connecticut. Hey, guys, this happened a day before Halloween. I woke up in the middle of the night and my deceased sister was at the foot of my bed. I have to believe I was dreaming because I miss her so much. What do you think?
It happens.
Yeah.
It happens. And, you know, could it have been a dream? Sure. You can't rule that out. But so many people, Teresa, say that they see their dearly departed loved ones in that kind of arena, the foot at the bed, nighttime. It's something about going to sleep and relaxing that somehow brings these things out. You can't rule it out, though.
I think they're lucky. I'm lucky to have your deceased person come, you know, I'm okay or I'm doing this or whatever.
Would you be scared?
No, heck no. I wish it would happen.
Would you be scared, though, if there was some other apparition that was not your deceased loved ones that you did not know?
No, I think being the kind of inquisitive person I am, I'd wake up and go, who's that next to you? You know, what do they want?
Yeah, good point. Okay, thanks, Tom. Let's go to Annie in Alabama. Hi, Annie, what's up?
Thank you, George.
Sure.
My mother died several years ago. Can you hear me?
Not well, so I'm going to put you on hold. Tom will try to check. You might need a better phone, Annie, because that one was... not very good. Almost a minute or so to go before the break, so I don't want to go to a call and cut somebody off, so we will come back to you in just a moment. We've got a few more surprises for you on Ghost to Ghost as well throughout the night. At the end, we're going to also be playing a clip of the inexperienced ghost, which you'll get a kick out of, so make sure you're part of it. A couple little notes that I wanted to pass on to you on our next Coast to Coast show. Pharmacist Ben from Critical Health News joins us for a couple hours, followed by Paul Selig, and we will be talking to Paul about clairvoyancy, and he's often referred to as the psychic professor and one heck of a guy. We have now our new YouTube channel up and running, and take advantage of that. It's free. I love it when these things are free. You can get to it by going to coasttocoastam.com and click the YouTube icon at the top of the homepage. Or if you're on YouTube already, in their search engine, simply type in Coast to Coast Official, and it'll pop up. And just subscribe to it. You just click and fill out the information, and you're there, and you'll become part of the YouTube family. More Ghost to Ghost in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.
Hi, this is Sonia Grace wishing everyone a happy Halloween.
That's great. Sonia Grace, another great mystical guest, is she not? Let's go to Debbie in Ashland, Wisconsin to get us going on Ghost to Ghost. Hi, Deb, what do you have for us?
Well, I might live in Ashland, Wisconsin now, but when I was a teenager, I lived in New Jersey.
Okay.
And I lived in a haunted apartment building.
A haunted apartment building. All right. Mm-hmm.
There wasn't anyone in this building that didn't have a tale to tell. And myself included. And
did these apparitions roam all over the place?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Did they live in your apartment complex? I mean, in your apartment specifically?
My apartment, the apartments upstairs, the apartments in the back.
Jeez.
And, I mean, this was, you know, in New Jersey, it was like a, well, in a complex, it's like a city block.
What was your most memorable story, Deb?
My most memorable story took place, like I said, it was back in the 70s. It was one summer night. And we heard a knock on the back door. My mother said, told me, go check it out, see what's there. You know, who's there?
Yeah.
So I went back, and because it's a first floor apartment, I just moved the curtains aside and looked out. And what I saw was this creature with matted fur, black glistening eyes, and fangs.
Oh.
I dropped the curtain back down. I went into the living room where my mom was watching TV, and she said, "Well, who was it?" I said, "There was nobody there."
Nobody there, Ma.
Mm-hmm. A couple of days later, we were sitting there watching TV, and we heard a noise coming from the vacant apartment above us.
Oh, boy.
And, I mean, it sounded like all hell was breaking loose. And, I mean, there was bangs and screams. And before we could decide whether we're going to go investigate or call the police, a knock came on our front door. It was the neighbor from the third floor apartment. He was leaving for work, and as he got to the second floor, he runs into the girl who lived on the garden apartment on the first floor behind us. And she was pinned to the wall, eyes as big as saucers, shaking like a leaf.
Jeez.
And he says, "I got to go to work, but see if, you know, you can do something with her.
Help her."
Yes. So we brought her in, and we talked to her, did our best to calm her down. And what she told us was absolutely unbelievable. She said that she heard the same noise we did, but she went upstairs to go investigate. Because this was a tough girl. I mean, she, wouldn't take anything from anybody. And so she said she went upstairs, and she looked into the door because it had a glass window on the door leading into that apartment.
Yeah.
And she said that she saw this creature, that same creature. She described the same creature that I saw a few days before, only there was blood covering him, and it was being wailed on by these two shadow creatures.
Jeez.
6.5 foot tall.
What an apartment complex.
Wearing stovepipe hats.
Normally, they don't attack like that. That's weird.
Now, I don't know if these were ghosts or if these were shadow creatures or hat people or what it was.
Or a combination of all of that.
Yeah. All I know is that it was something that, made her go, like I said, she was in shock there for a good 2 hours before we could get anything out of her.
How long did you live there, Debbie?
I lived there from the time I was 14 until I was about 17.
3 years too long, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't blame you. Hey, thanks for that story. Hey, we've got a couple people who've been guests on the program, The Haunted Housewives. We've got Kathy and we've got Teresa with us. Hello, you two. Welcome to the program.
Happy Halloween. Thanks for having
us. Happy Halloween, George.
Both of you, too. What have you two been up to? Teresa, you go first.
Oh, well, we've been pretty busy, as always, on Halloween. But the exciting news is our book just came out just before Halloween, Love Beyond the Grave, True Tales of Haunted Hearts.
I love it.
We've been busy promoting that. It's been a lot of fun. It's been a great season.
Do you find, Kathy, that with Love Beyond the Haunted Grave, that there's that tie-in, that bond with somebody?
Well, yes, we have, and we've done a lot of good stories about it, and I think we've even talked about it on your program before, that
yep.
Love seems to be a really strong bond, and even, once someone is gone, there's still a connection that is being explored, even in the afterlife. Somebody loves you that much, they've got to come back and check on you.
You two have been doing this for how many years now, Kathy?
Well, almost a decade now.
How did you get started, Teresa? How did that all happen for both of you?
Kathy was a storyteller and a historian, and I was a ghost hunter with the group. And the group I was with did some work with Kathy, and once I met Kathy, I kind of latched on to her and let go and stalked her until I convinced her to come ghost hunting with me because she wasn't really into that part of it, more of the historian and the research part. And I dragged her to a place called the Mansfield Prison.
Oh, yeah.
And she's been with me ever since. So we bonded after the restraining order wore off, of course. We bonded and been together ever since.
Kathy, what's the website?
The website is www.hauntedhousewives.com. If you want to check out and see what we're up to and see what our events are, and information on our book is also on there.
All right. Thank you. I hope you two both enjoyed Halloween, and let's stay in touch. The Haunted Housewives. Taking texts and tweets. Tom, what do you have for us this segment?
This one from Corinne in South Florida. You got to pick me. I bought a Ouija board the other day and set it in my spare room.
No.
I set it in my spare room. Yesterday, when I came home, it was in my kitchen. I can't believe this. Do you think this is a sign of evil?
It's a sign of something. I don't like Ouija boards. I mean, I've interviewed one person who loves them, Karen Dolman. She was on the show a few weeks ago.
How did it move?
You know, who put it there?
From the bedroom to the kitchen.
I mean, I just don't play around with Ouija boards. No. You know what? I've been buying Tom just to buy them, because I should have been buying stuff when I was younger and kept them, like baseball cards and stuff. I mean, I had Mickey Mantles that were worth a fortune. They're gone. I don't know where they are. My mom can't find them. But I've been buying old board games in new condition, not even opening them up, and just keeping them one day. Because, you know, 100 years from now, people will go, man, this thing was great. The game of life, that's amazing.
Do you have Parcheesi?
I haven't bought that yet.
Monopoly?
Yes, bought Monopoly, Clue, and a whole bunch. But my point is, there's no Ouija board game collection. I'm not going to do it. You do it for yourself.
I would do it.
Why don't you? Take it home with you. See how long that house lasts. You got a gorgeous house. Watch
it
go right
to
down the hill.
Curse me?
No, not okay, at all. Then. All right, Annie's back. Annie in Alabama. Hey, Annie, you on a better phone?
I got my landline out.
Much better.
I want to tell you about my mother. She died several years ago, and she was an artist. And after she died, the rain, every time it would fall, it would leave water marks on the brick wall right across the street. This is the view I get from my bedroom window. And this water mark, where the rain has fallen over the years, has made a life-size portrait of my mother standing right there.
No way.
Oh, yeah. I wish I could have a better camera. And I told you about the microwave, the Morse code that came
sure.
out of it, and I got that on tape. Things move around in the house, and things fall in the floor for no good reason.
Is this watermark picture of your mother still there?
Oh, yes.
That's amazing.
I'm afraid the rain might finally corrupt it. If it rains enough, it might make it into something else.
Can other people see it? Do they see a figure of your mother on that wall?
I don't let people in my bedroom so they can look out the window, and you've got to see it from that exact angle.
Ah, okay.
We've heard footsteps in the attic. Me, my mother, and my grandmother all heard the footsteps in the attic several times. My mother shows up in my dreams.
Have you ever gone out to the wall and touched it and looked at it up close?
No, I've not done that.
You should. See if you feel any kind of feeling or anything like that. But that could be your mother's way, Annie, of trying to communicate with you. You never know. Let's go back to the calls. Let's go to Sean in Santa Barbara, California. Hey, Sean, good morning to you. Still with us?
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. You ever try to get facts and you try, so you're going to present something? And I went through 15, what do you call, manila envelopes to get this so I can have some facts. Can't find it, so I'm going to have to wing it. So I was going to tell one story about Janis Joplin and the Highland Gardens. In room 105 that she haunts, and they have all the pictures nailed to the lobby. And I asked the clerk, why is it they nailed to the lobby? Because Janis Joplin moves them. But Tom doesn't think this is scary enough. So, Thomas.
If you love the story, you can tell it to us.
Thomas, you asked for it. You want a scary story, pal. Okay, Tom, you sit down.
Uh-oh.
I want you to check Tom's shorts after this.
Well, he's in Los Angeles. I'm in St. Louis. Thank God.
Well, you text him and see how.
All right.
All right.
Go ahead.
All right. It's called the Bella Maggiore. in Ventura. It's a hotel. Now, my son and I were going to see Flogging Molly at the Ventura Majestic Theater.
Okay.
We're going to go. I didn't drink. I drank then, but I didn't drink. The shoes, my shoes I left outside were dancing. Okay. That's before we went to Ventura. I said, oh, I heard this story about this ghost story, Sylvia, room 17. I go with my son. I asked the clerk. She looked at me and my son, but when my son and I walked in the Bella Majora, there was pots and pans and noises and banging and all kind of noise, and it looked like from a movie.
And nobody there, right?
Well, there was the guys that worked there, and they're like fighting this thing, but we're ignoring that, and we just want the room. So my son and I get the room. So all of a sudden, I go in the closet. It's about a woman that was a prostitute that was killed from some sailor, and she hung herself. They hung her in the closet.
Oh,
so
geez.
I went in the closet. I shut the closet, and I said, all right, come on out. When I came out, my son saw it. There's her face, and she's like looking at both of us. My son went out the door. She didn't have any eyes. It didn't bother me.
Why not?
Because I've been used to this since I've been 6 years old. Oh
my God. But your son hightailed it out of there, didn't he?
Yeah. But I've been used. This is nothing. I mean, my mother and I saw a decanter float in Hollywood Boulevard, and it was full of wine. So people go, yeah, we drank the wine. But that's another story.
I'd like to see that one day. But did you spend the night in that room, Sean, or did you just get out of there too?
No. It became a love story between me and her. What happened was, it's true. It's kind of offbeat, but it's true. What happened was that my son and I went out, but we couldn't get in. We couldn't get back in. So my son went to the lobby, and he read. He goes, come here. I go, what? He goes, read this. She locks people out. So we went.
Whoa.
We went to the clerk.
Didn't you have a key?
It wouldn't fit in.
Ah, that's
so
weird.
So the clerk is talking to the head lady. She's going, whispering, yeah, it's a son in there, and you got to come over here because she's at it again. She's at it.
Oh, they know about her, don't they?
Well, because it said that she locks people. My son was reading this. It's like, you know, in a movie like Abbott Costello, like he's reading like, well, it says that she locks people out.
And so, there it is.
So there it is. So we went back in the room. Didn't bother me. Then all of a sudden, I start coming back there. And then one day, I left her some roses.
Oh, my God, Sean. You fell in love with this entity.
Yeah, her too. So what happened was, is that, yeah, it was a little romance going on there. It's off the wall, but it's a true story.
It is off the wall.
Yes, it is. But wait until you get the twist. So the
I got a minute to go, so go for it.
Okay, so I'll hurry up. So the thing is that I went there, got her roses, came back, and then these Hispanic maids, they presented. She left the roses as a heart shape. She took the roses and made them a heart shape.
The ghost did for you.
Yes.
Wow.
And then, see, you would smell roses. You would smell
you
roses.
You could do that, yeah. I've heard a lot about that. Now, do you still do this, or is it done now?
Well, it's done, but the point is, I found out who it was. I told somebody, Sylvia. It's Sylvia Plath. Sylvia Plath is on a rampage. I got the book here, Rough Magic. I'm a detective. I'm an amateur detective. I put it all together. So a picture that they have.
This is the one that was killed.
Yes, and they have a picture, but it's called the Bella Manjara. She wrote the bell jar.
And you have fallen in love with a ghost.
Yeah, but she would follow me. And you could smell the roses. Even when I went to Santa Barbara, went to a restaurant, and it was reeking of roses.
So she still follows you?
No. After I had a picture of the pillows, she propped pillows up.
Oh, so that's when it ended. Okay, Sean, thanks. That's a good story. More with Ghost to Ghost in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.